Welcome to Nach Yomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schupp, and today we will continue our study of the Book of Job, focusing on chapter 22, in which the third round of debates begins with Eliphaz, who, according to Malbim, takes a novel approach, as he skillfully argues that it was a deliberate mark of divine wisdom to withhold immediate consequences for man's exercise of free choice. Picking up the thread that Eov had begun to weave in the last chapter, Eliphaz says that in order to ensure free will and enable human beings to choose between good and evil, God delays retribution for sinful behavior and provides no instantaneous reward for good deeds. Otherwise, the human being's moral freedom would be compromised. When Hashem created Adam and Chava, he intended for them to function as moral agents, capable of constructive as well as destructive behavior, who could choose to follow directives out of reverence and love, and not function like well-trained seals, whose acrobatics are conditioned through rewards and punishments, seeking pleasure and avoiding pain. Ever since then, the apparent disconnect between actions and their consequences were intended to test and prove how high the human being can soar above the other beasts. For similar reasons, Hashem hides his countenance, and his presence is no longer readily apparent, leading some to conclude that the Creator is transcendent and far removed from earth and its inhabitants, and has abandoned man. Eov wonders, like so many modern agnostics, if God sees or cares about the individual's actions. Eliphaz suggests that God masks his presence to distinguish between the truly moral and the expedient opportunist, and in so doing, Hashem highlights the ethical majesty of the person who worships Hashem out of love and not out of fear or greed. Accordingly, Malbim reads the first three verses of Eliphaz's speech as rhetorical questions. Hale'el yiskan gever ki yiskon aleimo maskil? החפץ לשקי כי תצדק, ואם בצע כי תתם דרכך. המאירתך יוכיחך, יבוא עמך במשפט. Can a man be of use to God? Can even a wise man benefit him? Does it delight the Almighty that you are righteous? Does he profit if your ways are blameless? Is it for your reverence that he rebukes you and enters into judgment with you? Rashi and Mitzudot suggest these opening verses stress that man's behavior, for good or evil, do not affect the eternal and omniscient God, and it is absurd to attribute Eov's suffering to a divine act of vengeance or a God's reaction to some pain that he feels. Ramban elaborates, paraphrasing Eliphaz's thesis. No man's behavior benefits God. A human's actions can only help or harm himself. God wants us to do what is good, honest, and kind for our own sake, because he cares for those that he created. Do you imagine that God is afraid of you, and in order to appease you, he will stand in judgment and explain his ways to you? Eliphaz then continues to point out that Hashem does not need to rationalize why Eov is suffering, when it is evident that Eov has committed a series of interpersonal sins, active and passive, that effectively hurt the weak and needy in his community. He tells him, "Halo ra'atcha rabba ve'en ketz le'avonotecha." After all, your wickedness is great, and there is no end to your iniquities. Though Eov was wealthy and powerful, Eov most probably withheld appropriate aid for the hungry and destitute, as described in verses 6 and 8, in which Eliphaz accuses, Ki tachbol lachicha chinam, uvigdei arumim tafshit, lo maim ayef tashke, umeraev timna lechem, ve'ish zroa lo haaretz, ve'nasu panim yeshev ba, almanot shilacht arekam, וזרועות יתומים ידוקה, על כן סביבותיך פחים, ויבהלך פחד פתאום. You needlessly demanded security from your brother, stripping people of their clothing, leaving them naked. You gave no water to the weary and withheld food from the hungry. Though you were a powerful man owning land, an honored man living on it, and you sent widows away empty-handed and exploited the fatherless. That is why snares are all around you, why sudden peril terrifies you. Malbim, unlike most commentaries, believes that Eliphaz is not implicating Eov directly, but indicates that it is all too common for those who are rich and comfortable to become self-absorbed and deluded into feeling entitled to their wealth and social standing that they attribute to their own talents and hard work. Consequently, they lack empathy for the less fortunate and don't feel obligated to care for the lower classes. Allowing themselves to turn away helpless widows and exploit the orphans, paying cheaply for their labor since they have no one to stand up to advocate for them. Since no thunderbolt comes down to disabuse them of the illusion that they deserve and have earned their prosperity, the rich are often shocked and overwhelmed when violence runs rampant, and it seems that there is no justice or a judge. Ve'amarta, ma yada el hamebead arafel yishpot? Avim seter lo, ve'lo yir'eh, ve'chug shamayim italach. Yet you say, what does God know? Does he judge through the dark fog? Thick clouds veil him, so he does not see us as he goes about in the vaulted heavens. Whether or not Eliphaz intended to condemn Eov for having misused his prosperity and social position, for failing to share his wealth when he had it, and improving the lives of the unfortunate when he was powerful, he now seems to be openly mocking Eov's indignant complaint at seeing the wicked living luxurious and serene lives. Ha'orach olam tishmor, asher darko metei aven, asher kumtu velo et nahar yutzak yisodam. Will you keep to the old path that the wicked mortals have trod? They were carried off before their time, their foundations washed away by a flood. Eliphaz then hurls Eov's own words back at him, like a boomerang. You will recall that Eov bemoaned the smug attitude of the wicked, who thumbed their noses at God, daring him to strike them as they go on a rampage of cruel criminality. In the previous chapter, Eov quoted their defiance and said in verses 14 and 15, Vayomru le'el su mimenu, veda drachecha lo chafatsnu. Ma shakai kinavdenu, umano il kinivgabo. And now Eliphaz condemns Eov for hypocrisy, acting just like the Rishaim that he so despises, accusing him, Ha omrim la'el su mimenu, umayifal shakai lamo. They said to God, leave us alone. What can the Almighty do to us? He admonishes Eov to learn from history and consider the fate of the wicked who were ultimately wiped out by the great flood in the days of Noah, or the final outcome of the arrogant people who built the Tower of Babel. Eov should consider what happened to the corrupt people of Sodom and Amorah. Though God bestowed them with plenty and peace, they were completely wiped out. In verse 18, Eliphaz emphasizes first. Vehu milei batehem tov. And Hashem had filled their houses with good things. But then he closes with an ironic quotation of Eov's own words. Ve'atzat reshaim rachaka meni. And yet you insist, the schemes of the wicked is far from me. Eliphaz has compared Eov to the people of Sodom, who were smug when they were wealthy and serene. And like them, his wealth was taken away as well. Eliphaz allows this last clause to sting, and then adds, if you are truly innocent, then just wait and learn from the past that proves that the good will inevitably triumph. Yir'u tzadikim v'yismachu, v'naki yil'ag lamo. Im lo nikhad kimanu, v'yitrem achla ish. The righteous see their ruin and rejoice. The innocent mock them, saying, surely our foes are destroyed, and fire devours their wealth. Eliphaz then advises Eov to reconcile himself with God and cleave to him, learn from his Torah, and take the holy words to heart. Then Eov can also find meaning in his suffering and once more find hope and redemption. In verses 21 through 23, he says, Hasken na'imo, ushlam bahem tvoatcha tova. Kach na mipiv Torah, v'sim amarav bilvavecha. Im tashuv ad shakai, tibane, tarchik avla me'ohalecha. Submit to God and be at peace with him. In this way, prosperity will come to you. Accept instruction from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. If you return to the Almighty, you will be restored. If you remove wickedness far from your tent. He pleads with Eov to restore his faith, promising that God will then improve his lot and heal his soul. Ki az al shakai titanag, v'tisa el Eloha panecha, ta'atir elav v'yishma'eka, undarecha tishalem. Surely then you will find delight in the Almighty, and you will lift up your face to God. You will pray to him, and he will hear you, and you will fulfill your vows. Moreover, Eliphaz promises that Eov will again be successful and be able to help and inspire others who are stricken with pain and doubt. If Eov would but accept his agony with love, he will be endowed with the power to restore others who are also suffering. Thank you for learning with me.
Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmat, Rose Foreman, Rezel Rochel Bat Aryeh Leib, and for Rachel Zeitlin, Rochel Bat Shlomo, Alehen HaShalom.